We ask that in your son's name. Amen. Amen. And so we're going to be reading from the book of Malachi today, which is an interesting one. If you've never read out of Malachi, I would really encourage you to do so. Malachi, does anyone know what his name actually means? Like the Hebrew derivative? I know my mom knows. That's my mom and dad. Does anyone know? Messenger. All right. Messenger. And so, maybe he's sending a message today still. And so, to give us context, when we speak about Malachi, it's Israel are doing what they do best, and they have gone astray. And before you go, Israel, come on. Remember, you're also the people of God, huh? It's human nature. It's our carnal way. This is what we've done since the beginning. And God has come, and he's given us a new covenant, and he's given us his Holy Spirit, and he's desperately wanting us to live lives that are pleasing to him. But our fleshly nature still kicks. Do you know that? It still kicks. And so we're supposed to be dead to the things of this world. But I can tell you right now, if someone comes and kicks you, there's still a little bit of a, hey, am I right? I'm the only one. Okay, let's move on. A little bit awkward. Okay, so everything that God has put into place, they have gone and done the opposite. And the result is they're actually upset with God because their lives are in turmoil. And so God brings the prophet Malachi, and he brings all his people together, and he starts to speak to them. And this is what he says in Malachi 1, 2 to 3. He says, I have always loved you, says the Lord. But you retort, really? Really? How have you loved us? And the Lord replies, this is how I showed my love for you. I loved your ancestor Jacob, but I rejected his brother Esau and devastated his hill country. I turned Esau's inheritance into a desert for jackals. And you're going, wow, that's quite harsh. But I want to say, if you sat here today and you're going, how have you loved me, God? Maybe you're struggling with that today as you sit here. How have you loved me, God? It's like God's, and you're going, really? Really? He chose you. You didn't choose him. And he revealed his love to you. And you responded to that love, if you're a believer here today. And if you have not had that opportunity, I want to, at the end of this, give you the best opportunity possible to be able to actually come into a loving and living relationship with Jesus. But you need to know that. Is that he chose you. And he revealed himself to you. And you responded to that love. And we continue reading in Malachi 1:6. It said, the Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, a son honors his father and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. Where are the honor and respect I deserve? And so when someone looks at your life, let's to make this personal, when someone looks at my life, when someone looks at your life, do they look at you and go, wow, Jesus is both the Father and the Master of Gary's life. I can see it. He's both the Father and the Master of Francois's life. It's evident in the way that he lives, in the way that he speaks about it, in the way that he raises his kids. In the way that he treats the person he does not yet know or loves on them. Is he both? Or even much so, like, is he still obedient even when it's not convenient to the way he's living? When the Lord asks you, and you've come from the holy grail of Jabez as a surfer, and he asks you to come and stay in Malkbos where the water is cold. Huh? I know that the Lord is both Father and Master in Francois's life. Is it evident in our lives? Is it evident in our lives? And as a believer, I recognize we claim a lot of things. And we call it the Christian claims. The Christian claims. And now we need to be honest with ourselves. Okay, this is church, guys. We need to be honest with ourselves. We love to claim the lives that we live and say that we honor God, but we actually may have stopped obeying him a long time ago. I had this interesting conversation with a guy in Azeventane. He came to the front after I preached a certain message. It actually may have even been this message. And he said to me, Mike, I've heard what you've said, but you've got to understand, I have read the Bible many times, from the front to the back, and I am still struggling with anger. What would you suggest? And I just said to him, my friend, I'm so sorry to hear that. But when last did you obey what you actually read? Because I think, and we'll get to it in a moment, we've found a way that we claim certain things as Christians, but actually we live or have stopped honoring God in certain things by obeying what he actually says. And so scripture tells us clearly in 1 John 2, 4-8, says this: if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey commands, God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. Harsh scripture. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. And so here's the contrast. We've got the claims, okay? And we've got those who truly show how completely they love him. And I would ask us the same question. Do we claim he is our God? Or by the way in which we live and act and love and obey, do we truly show that he is our God? And so it's a good thing as we live out our lives to make sure that we are those who are truly showing that we know him. And that is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Let's look how he lived it. Verse 7. Dear friends, I'm not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have heard from the very beginning. This old commandment, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment. So Jesus lived the truth of this commandment. Who are we imitating? Sorry? Oh, okay, cool. There's still some guys here. I'm just checking. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and it's him that we're imitating. Okay. And then it says, you are also living it, for the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. And I alluded to this in the fact that we actually are in week 10, and I want to say, there are glimmers of light starting to come through, which is a beautiful thing to witness. I'm so encouraged by these three. I know, Michal, we've been walking a road for a long time, but I'm so encouraged by these three sitting here. Rian's squirming in his boots now. The other two are looking okay. That's how you take the onus off you as a preacher, you make someone else feel. Just kidding. But I'm so encouraged, you know, that actually we're starting to see quite a few young men raised up. And something that is deeply lacking today. Henry, there in the back as well. You know, I'm getting the glaring eye from Auntie Lynn. Like I forgot someone. I might have missed someone else. Yeah. Okay. So there's young. The point I'm making is that there's young men rising up that are choosing a way of life that is pleasing to the Lord and doing what they can in God as they grow in him to walk in something that they've been called to, not the world is drawing them to. It's a beautiful thing to witness. And so there's glimmers of light coming through. And I want to say, it's all that God needs, man. You heard it now. It's like David was praying with my parents for our salvation, for the salvation of my wife and myself. And I was chatting to Gary because he said he was there. He was sitting in the row behind us the day that we gave our lives to the Lord. And so when anyone ever says anything and says, yeah, it's a little bit beyond salvation, you know, I don't know if he's truly going to change. Rubbish. I know my God. I know his spirit that's inside of me. It's the same spirit that raised him from the dead. He will do anything he needs to. All he's looking for is a willing heart, one that would obey him. All right. And so sometimes, you know, when God speaks and he asks us to obey certain things, he asks us to obey certain things. Is it always easy? No, it's not. It's not easy. I'm first one to admit it. It's not easy. But it's worth it every single time. It's so worth it. Because he has the bigger picture. He knows exactly what he wants for your life. He knows what he wants for this church and a way in which we would represent him. It's not always easy. I'm reminded of the disciples, you know, when Jesus spoke hard things to them. And then eventually they turn around and they go, You know, and Jesus said to them, will you leave me too? I said, Lord, where else will we go? For you hold the words of life. For you hold the words of life. And I pray that that would be our response when he's asking hard things of us sometimes. Lord, where else will we go? You hold the words of life. I've seen you do it in someone's life before. I know that you've done it in mine. It's not convenient. It doesn't fit into my meology. But I recognize it's the way you live, and so I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to do it. And I can tell you right now, that's the church that he's wanting to form here. Not a one that is built around people, but is built around the ways of God. And a people that would lay themselves at his feet, willing to do whatever it takes to see his kingdom extend. And so we see that it's only through listening to the instruction of Jesus that actually our life comes into alignment with his will. Actually, as we begin to obey him, our lives come into alignment with his will. You might be sitting here today and going, I feel like I'm getting it from every side. When last did you ask either the person that you're walking with accountably, and if you're not doing so already, I want to encourage you. When last did you ask Jesus what his will is for your life? That's probably the most important question of your life, is to know what he purposed you to do on this earth. Because he is both Father and Master. We've been made a slave. We were slaves to sin. Actually, now we're slaves to Jesus. Now, that's not a comforting thought for some of you, but I can tell you right now, he's not the same Jesus that's standing there with a whip trying to get us into shape. No, he wants this for us. It's the very reason that he came and he died and he lived in a way that could be imitated so that we could be living the same way and come into loving relationship with the Father, being reconciled to him. And so I'm going to say something shocking here. Uh-oh. I'm going to say something shocking, but attending church does not equal... I'm going to be careful with the way I say this. Attending church does not make you just a better Christian. Okay. It does not, let's put it this way. It does not equal a God-honoring life to attend church. To read your Bible from front to back and back to front, however you want to read it and however many hours of the day. And likewise with prayer. You can spend your entire time on your knees, praying to God. It does not equal a God-honoring life. You say, well, now you're going to have to clarify that, and I will. Okay. There are aspects, and these are things that God has asked of us, and actually we are walking in obedience when we do them. But God can speak, and he can speak, and he can use a person, he can use a donkey, he can use a spirit, he can use a prophetic word. But if we do not listen and give ear, and then honor him in the way that we obey what he's actually saying, we do not honor him. And it's something in it, now saying that is because all those things are good. I'm going to like swing it back again because I can see like, oh, sir. I'm going to swing it back again, okay. Reading a Bible, incredible. And we're going to pick up on that now. Prayer, amazing. The very engine room of what God wants to do here. And in our own lives. Coming to church, yeah, it's a command. Do not forsake the gathering of the saints. Those are all great things, all established by the Lord. But as mentioned earlier, we can sit, we can listen, but if we do not take it to heart and actually obey what he says at the end of the day, I don't know if we can call it a God-honoring life. And so I want to, before you say, yes, there's no hope to this, okay, I want to use last week. Who was here last week? Okay. So last week, just to use as a quick illustration as to whether we listen to God, there was a moment within worship, and worship was, it was incredible. It was like the presence of the Lord was here, and guys were, I looked across the hall, and guys were, they were worshiping Jesus passionately. It was wonderful to see. And then in a moment, I just felt the still small voice of the Lord, just drop in, just ministry. Now you're thinking, yeah, okay, cool, it's Uncle Jeff, you know, because Uncle Jeff, he's driven an hour and a half to be here, and so, you know, we need to get him in to preach. So that's even my thinking, huh? I'm being, again, vulnerable with you. And then Ivan comes up, and he actually said something to me before the meeting last week. Ivan comes up and taps me on my shoulder and says, I feel like we need to pray for guys. And I'm like, oh no, not that kind of ministry, God. Like, it's not working out as planned. Now, I don't really, we don't generally fit into the same mold as traditional church, okay? And I like to think of myself that would stop, but I can tell you right now, something even in my own heart had needed to shift in that moment to go, okay, it's not going to look like what we had planned. And that's okay, because if it means that we're honoring and we're listening to what God says, He'll do what He needs to do. And so I even felt like there was probably, I don't know, as I said, I don't know if it was a word of knowledge, but someone going, you know, it's actually time to go into the Word. It's two songs, you know, we need to. And I don't know if someone was thinking that, okay? But I want to say that actually I think we might have missed the Word of what actually God wanted to do that day. Yeah, I'm off my notes now, I'm sorry. Corinthians 14:26, you can go read it. Orderly worship, Paul setting things into place again. And he says, one brings a word. And so sometimes we treat the words even, or Jesus, with contempt by quenching the Spirit, not releasing a word, or giving ear to the prophetic. And I want to say, if we miss those moments, we do not go where God wants us to go. And so we need to be a people, this is like a teaching moment with Inner Preach, I'm sorry. This is we need to be a people that would drop everything at the moment that we hear God doing something, because we know His ways are better. We don't always understand them, but we want to follow Him. And we would be ruthless with it. Is that okay? Okay, good. I'm just checking if we agree or if we're going to have converse afterwards. You see, friends, God cares very little for man's religious effort. But He loves heartfelt obedience. I'm going to say it again. He cares very little for, what is it, religious effort. He loves heartfelt obedience. He loves heartfelt obedience. And so just as you're thinking, Mike, we have no hope. Okay. I'm going to give us handles because I think I've pointed out the issue. And we're going to look at Scripture and we're going to continue in Malachi because I do believe it gives us some good handles to look at. And so Malachi 2:1-2. And now, O priest, this command is for you. If you will not listen, if you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name, says the Lord of hosts, then I will send the curse upon you and I will curse the blessings. Indeed, I have already cursed them because you did not lay it to heart. And you're going like, Jesus, this is the good news. And I want to say, there's answers in there if you go and look. Okay, it starts like this. If you will not listen. Point number one. So we're going to pick up on 3 points. If you will not take it to heart to give honor to my name. And how do we give honor? We've established that by listening, taking it to heart, and actually obeying what He is saying. And so those are the 3 points we're going to look at. And this is the revelation components. We're going to break it into those 3 parts. Revelation, application, transformation. Okay. This is the revelation component. And I want to say, if we approach the Word of God, and now I'm talking about the prophetic, I'm talking about what we're doing right now, I'm talking about maybe even our quiet times. If we approach the Word of God with a preconceived idea, we will leave unchanged and with excuses. I'll say it again. If we approach the Word of God with preconceived ideas, we will leave unchanged and with excuses. And we'll read this in John 8:31-38. It's some of my favorite scripture. I think my mom was teaching this to me when I was 10. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Okay, now note their preconceived argument. They answered Him. You can put it up if you've got it there. They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" And I want to say, if Christianity has become a set of rules for you, and you're feeling boxed in by it, I think we've missed it. It's actually the very safety net. It's the very confines of what we live in as a Christian that are supposed to bring comfort and support. Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants." So now this is the Jesus going back. "I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word." Whoa. Can you imagine being in that conversation with Jesus? "You have no room for my word. You're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word." And I want to ask us this evening. It's like, do we still have room in our hearts for God's word? Do we still have room? And I want to use these as an illustration. These are my earphones. They are Bluetooth earphones, which means they do not need to stay connected to. We've moved on in life, which is fantastic. And so it's a beautiful thing where you can take these things out. They come in this case. This case charges them. And so whilst they're in here, they remain charged. Jesus said, "If you remain in me, you'll bear fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The challenge with these is that as they start to move away from the thing that I'm listening to, they begin to lose signal. And at some point, I move far enough away, I'm no longer hearing a thing. And at one point, if they stay away long enough, they will die. They will die. And so when I say, have you got enough room in our hearts for God's word, I want to say, is it still living and active? He holds all things together by the power of his word. I want to say, in our own lives, does it feel like everything's being held together, or do you feel like everything's in turmoil and it's everywhere? How much room in our hearts do we have for God's word still? And remember, I'm not speaking about just scripture. I'm speaking about when God speaks. When God speaks. I remember when we were leaving Azeventein, my boy ran into the room one day. We had packed all the Judah, our three-year-old, and we had packed out the room. It was empty. And he ran in, and all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, he just started shouting, "Wah!" And I was thinking, like, what are you doing? I know he never surprises us, really. But he came into the room, and he just started shouting, and I'm wondering, like, what is going on here? And when speaking to him a little bit more, we realized that actually he just enjoyed the sound of his voice, the echoes. It took us a while, and it actually even became a little bit irritating. But it was such a useful illustration for me personally, and hopefully it is for you too, that actually as we declutter our lives and actually focus on the things of, that area of making room for God's word, that there is more space to actually hear the echoes of heaven, to hear what it is that God is saying. Does it make sense? Not so much. Okay, let's try again. Is there still room for his word in our lives? And so when God speaks, do we listen? And this is taking it to heart. So this is the second point. This is the application component, okay? So to discern, what area is he speaking into? What area is he speaking into? And we're going to move quite fast now. Do we take it to heart? Do we make room in our lives for that? And it's not if, it's when. He says, my sheep will hear my voice. My sheep will hear my voice. He will speak. And now it's to recognize when he does speak, what are those areas of clutter within our own lives? And we'll look at some scriptural evidence of this. Pride. And I actually think it's probably all rooted in pride, if I'm honest. And we'll see why in a second. Pride. We are the descendants of Abraham. I've grown up in church, man. I've been saved 25 years. I've already established that how long you save doesn't equal spiritual maturity. Understand that, okay. I actually think that those who are most obedient to God and most willing to be used by him will probably far surpass those who have been saved long. We need to get that into us, huh? We are the descendants of Abraham. I grew up and I was born into a Christian home. So was I. But you know what? I think the amount of time that when I started allowing God and I gave him room within my heart to be able to do the things that he wanted to do, that's when I started to see change. And it happened quickly. It happened quickly. And so here's another one. Rebellion. Romans 1, 21 to 22. For although they knew God, this is a scary scripture for me. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools. Hectic. Okay, they knew God. They did not honor him as God. It actually says God gave them over to the lusts of their own heart, to their desires, which is incredibly scary. And those lusts are actually our idols. It's the thing that we give our time and our attention to. It's the things that we worship, if for lack of a better word. The things that we worship or give more time and attention to than we do to God. Anything. God is jealous, man. He wants everything. What's it? Sometimes we don't say lies. We sing them, huh? So when we sing all, I was sitting there, and that's why I dropped to my knees twice going, Lord, these are hectic songs, man. We're saying all. Lord, that I'm not saying this stuff and not living it. We sing lies. So we need to be careful. Is everyone still okay? Are you shocked by it? Okay. So remember, we're speaking about not only how do we, how God speaks, we need to listen, we need to take it to heart, and we need to obey what he says. And I want to say this is nothing new, you know, like if you think back to the garden, they formed a meology immediately. They thought that they knew better. They wanted to. They craved knowledge, and they thought that they knew better. And that was the very deception that set it all into motion. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we all would have done the same. We always scream back at Adam and Eve, but actually, to be honest, it's our Adamic nature. It's what we would have done. And so, what was the last thing God asked of you? And did you listen? And did you take it to heart? Good question. And so, point number three, to honor his name. To honor his name. And so we've spoken about how do we hear him. Now, how do we respond? And I want to say immediately. Okay, immediately. Hebrews 3:15 says this, as it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Proverbs 25 actually speaks about, do not even look to the left or to the right. And I want to say, I'm going to call for a response in a moment. And it's a simple response. I don't want you to overthink it, and I don't want you to look to the person to the left and to the right, because one day we will stand before him as an individual. And we need to make sure that we are living in right standing relationship with Jesus. And so number two, accountability and guidance of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being, speaks about a process, okay, it speaks about, a constant process, being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. A.W. Tozer said this, when the Holy Spirit is in full control of our lives, he will expect obedience to the written word. It is part of our human problem that we would be full of the Spirit and yet go on and try and live our old lives, doing the things that we used to do. We cannot have both. Since we died to that way of life, we've made new in Christ. We cannot have one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus. The Holy Spirit will expect obedience to the written word. And we need to make sure that we are not like those earphones that slowly but surely drift from the source, slowly lose connection, eventually die. And we're not hearing or we're not listening anymore. We are those who take it to heart and to obey. Our flesh is weak, but the Spirit is strong. And that's what we want to point to, is that he never left us nor forsake us. He gave us his Spirit that would declare everything that Jesus taught us. Everything.
Do not worry about what you need to say, for he will give you the words. That's a wonderful promise. He is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to recognize that we cannot do it alone, and we were never meant to. So we walk accountable lives in relationship and relational lives with one another. But we also allow the Spirit to be able to speak into and shape us and mold us and lead us into all truth. Is that okay? All right. I want us to close our eyes, and I'm going to read a song. It's from an artist called Beautiful Eulogy, but it says, "If I don't change how I live, should I just still shout it just the same? If I shout it as loud as I can, will blessings shower down from the heavens and land on my crown to rinse away all my doubt? And the grace of God is only sweet to the ears who hear the sound of it, but the sweetness won't be tasted by the mouth of a counterfeit faith. Only the thirsty will drink from the fountain of life and count everything a loss for the sake of being found in Christ. Obedience to God's word is the safest foundation, a safe haven for saints waiting for the glorious great day when our Savior will return. That's the day of restoration. Those who sleep will be awakened, and we will never cease to thank him." And this is what we sang and what Francois led us in this morning, singing, "Worthy is the Lamb to receive glory and honor. Worthy is the Lamb who reconciled us to our Father. Worthy is the one who gives life without end." And so if you sat here this morning, and through the word of God or through the whispers of the Spirit, you're asking the question, and I want to give you an opportunity to not only listen and to take it to heart and to respond. Do you sat here and you're asking that question, does God really love me? Really, God? And I want to say, he loves you so much. So much so that he gave his one and only son so that you would not perish, but inherit eternal life. And so his desire today is an outstretched arm, hoping that you would receive the gift that is free, one of salvation. There's nothing you can do to earn it. It's only by the grace that we enter through faith alone. If you've never responded to Jesus, or you want to recommit your life, you've realized this afternoon that you're not living an obedient life to him, and you've stopped, you may have lost connection. You want to respond to Jesus and make him both Father and Master again, Lord and Savior. Won't you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. That's awesome. Thank you, God. Wonderful. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to pray with you in a second. I felt a second call, and this is where I'm asking, do not look to the left or to the right. But in some area of your life, maybe we haven't been listening, take it to heart, or honoring. Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's rebellious nature. Maybe it's the lusts given over to the idols of our own lives. But you realize that you're actually not hearing him as clearly. And it may be because you've stopped obeying him. Maybe as I asked that question, you realized, you know, what was the last thing God asked of you, and did you do it? And you couldn't answer that question, or you knew exactly what it was and you haven't. I want to ask, don't look to the left and to the right, but I want to ask you as an act of faith, and I want to pray for you. Won't you stand? Won't you stand? I ask you to be brave. Well done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This can be in the biggest thing. It can be in the smallest thing. I think it's actually, I feel like just even in the act of standing, it's in how we respond to God. Thank you, Lord. And so for those who have stood, Lord Jesus, I want to ask that, Lord, where you said, my sheep will hear my voice, God, I want to ask you, as our good shepherd, that you would come alongside them, God, that you would be near to them in this time. Lord, that you would give them the ability by the Spirit to not only listen, but to take it to heart and to obey, God, what it is that you've asked of them. I want to ask for everyone else in this room, God. Lord, that you would teach us the importance of, as we look at your word and the importance of it in our own lives, that we would make room again for you. That the things that clutter, we would lay to the side, and that we would enjoy being able to hear the echoes of heaven, that still small voice, Lord. And that you would lead us, God, into all truth. We love you, Lord Jesus. Won't you be both Father and Master in our lives? And even when it comes to the point where you're saying hard things to us, leading us into hard places, that you, Holy Spirit, as Comforter, would come alongside us and help us to endure and to obey and to give honor to your name. We thank you for this church, God. We thank you for what you're doing in and through us. We thank you, Father, that how you are teaching us to be a true reflection of who you are by the way in which we live. And we ask that you protect us as we move forward, that we will not give in to the whims of the world and the things that are drawing our attention, God, but that you would constantly add people to us that would be building in the same direction so that your name may be established in this town. We love you, God. We say, have your way in and through our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. 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 Wonderful. Thank you for those who stood, hey?